There are a lot of numbers to get your head around out of last night's federal budget. We'll continue to unpack those on programs throughout today. But a few that stood out for most people revolve around tax cuts for low and middle income earners. Here's the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg.
Two significant changes will deliver $158 billion of tax relief for hard-working Australians. Yeah. These are the largest personal income tax cuts since the Howard government. The government is more than doubling the low and middle income tax offset from 2018-19. Taxpayers earning up to $126,000 a year, including teachers, tradies and nurses, will receive a tax cut. For a single income family, this means $1,080 in your pocket per year. And for families on a dual income, this is up to $2,160 per year in your pocket.
It's the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, speaking last night at Parliament House. But this morning, a warning that all is not as it seems, that the Treasurer is doing some double counting from last year's budget. And this warning shot's been fired by Michael West, an investigative journalist, has a background in finance, journalism and stockbroking. MichaelWest.com.au. He operates as an individual these days, but been very busy with the calculator overnight. Michael West, good morning.
Good morning, Rebecca.
You've been looking at the fine print. How do you think Australia's been duped on tax relief?
Well, it's good that you played that clip from Josh Frydenberg last night. Josh was choosing his words very carefully, because what they're saying, that Lomito or low and middle income tax offset, basically what's happening is they've tweaked that. We predicted this a week ago, but what they've done in counting the amount of tax relief that is going to everybody, and a lot of people get this because it's low and middle income, basically what they've done here is they've double counted the stuff in last year's budget. So the number that they're bandying about in all their publicity, and in fact every newspaper and every media outlet has bought this hook, line and sinker so far, Rebecca, the number is 255. So the headline figure is 2.3 million people are earning up to 37,000 get 255. But the real figure is 55 in this year's budget, because 200 of it was in last year's. And that there's also a couple more tweaks like that. But effectively what they've done is they've double counted tax relief or bracket creep addressed in last year's budget and just put out this headline number with some nice graphics and stuff, and the media's just basically cut and pasted it into their stories.
So you say $255 for people earning under $37,000 a year, that's more like $55. What about that figure of $1,080 for a single person, $2,160 for a couple in that $37,000 to $126,000 tax bracket? Is that accurate?
Well, they're double counting all of it, because these offsets affect all the tax brackets. You see, so what happens is they're saying there's a $255 tax benefit for low-income earners, but it's only 55 from this budget. The rest is existing law already. And then page 6 says, IPRA claims in the budget papers a $1,080 benefit for medium-income earners. It's actually only $550 that's new. $530 is already existing law. Mm. And then there's the issue, of course, of this is all academic anyway. This is a PR exercise, because they're not going to get this through two houses of parliament in the next few days, but parliament's still sitting. So it's highly likely that we're speculating on something which is entirely academic. But it's not a $20 billion cash splash that it looks to be, because they've used figures from last year's budget.
Doesn't that happen all the time, though, in terms of budget announcements, that things get sort of racked and stacked from the past and rolled into
absolutely.
One big budget night?
Absolutely, and it's all about the estimates, of course, too. You know, you're forecasting, you know, they said, you know, wage growth last year was going to be 3% and a bit, but it came into 2% and something percent. So that inflated last year's numbers. I mean, this is all about estimates. And as your excellent caller, your pensioner from before, which who you had on the line, as she said, you know, they've got $500 billion in debt. So how can they be calling this a surplus anyway? Technically, it is, of course. But if you're running a household and you've got all this, you wouldn't be calling yourself in surplus if you owed the bank $500,000. So there's that aspect of it too. And there's also another deception in here that they've pulled a whole lot of money that wasn't spent out of the NDIS to bulk up the overall number. So there's two narratives. One is cash splash. Well, we've just dealt with that. It's not even half the cash splash it seems to be. And the other one is back in the black. You know, the media's running with this back in the black. Well, okay, it's back in the black, but with the help of the, and that's good, the surplus is commendable, but with the help of pulling some numbers, some billions of dollars out of the NDIS, which weren't spent, and disregarding, of course, the fact that Australia owes the rest of the world more than $500 billion.
Yes, the NDIS underspent, I think, it seems like that's accepted by all and disappointing to all. Goodness, I am not a finance expert by any means. But just to be clear, that $500 trillion debt that exists, we still look at the year-to-year spend to talk about a surplus or a deficit, though. They're two separate things, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I mean, look, okay. I think it was just good that your listener pointed it out.
Yes.
I mean, they are two separate things, and it's good to have a surplus. There's no doubt about that. It's good. It's heading in the right direction. But we still owe the rest of the world, $500 billion.
Yes. Okay. So just going back to then your issue, you say that there's double counting that's going on here. It's tax breaks from last year that have been rolled into this year. Is it any cheekier or more deceitful than in any other previous budgets when treasurers do the same sorts of things on announcements, whether it's roads or tax cuts or funding commitments?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, we should really do a broad historical helicopter view story. Is this a more deceitful budget than other budgets? I mean, everybody does it. Everybody tweaks the numbers in their favour for a political outcome. Now, I couldn't answer that. I mean, I've seen a few budgets in my time, obviously, and some of them have been shockers in terms of, you know, trying to dupe the media into running some kind of political angle. They are a political document. But this one, it's up there. It's in the top quartile.
All right. Well, yes, this budget really does double as a sort of a campaign launch for the federal election. My guest is Michael West, an investigative journalist from michaelwest.com.au. He has a background as a journalist, stockbroker, editor and finance commentator. Michael West, can I just go to another area that I know you've looked at closely recently, and that is tax avoidance. Most people actually are in agreement with politicians in terms of being absolutely flabbergasted by tax avoidance by multinationals. Who is paying their tax at the top end of town in Australia?
Well, the banks are paying a lot of it. You know, over the past 4 years on the ATO transparency data, we see the really big tax cheats like Energy Australia and Exxon, between them $63 billion in total income, zero tax paid, payable. Then we see at the other end of the scale, we've got the banks. The Commonwealth Bank has just paid $4 billion in 1 year. So the banks, despite all their myriad of sins and the systemic fraud that came out in the Banking Royal Commission, you have to give them the thumbs up.
Okay, so banks have paid it. But just going back to what you said there, did you say Energy Australia and Exxon, $63 billion in
total income, that's revenue over the past 4 years.
In total, in total income over 4 years, and they paid how much tax?
Zero.
How can that be?
Well, this is total income. So what they do is their taxable income, they also wiped out to almost nothing. Exxon, $33 billion over 4 years, declared no taxable income, just wiped it out, sent it all offshore in loans to themselves. Energy Australia, which is whose parent company is in the British Islands, has about $30 billion in revenues over the 4 years, and paid, and I think managed to wipe out almost all of its taxable income, so not declaring a profit, because what you should do is you shift your profit overseas to, you know, to a tax haven if you can. You know, Exxon's got more than 500 entities in the Bahamas alone. Energy Australia is based in British Virgin Islands, the parent company.
But this,
so they said, you get it all out of the country.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a new problem. What is extraordinary is that it is continuing. This budget has committed $1 billion that'll be pumped in the tax office to scrutinise tax avoidance schemes and strategies. Will that work?
Yeah, look, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. I mean, every year I do my top 40 tax avoiders list on the website and it goes off like hotcakes. People love it because, you know, it's just unfair that we low-income earners have to pay tax and these absolute giants who are extracting our natural resources don't pay any tax. So, basically, the best taxpayers are banks, financial services, and the ASX-listed companies, and the worst are foreign multinationals.
Have you got the list there with you, Michael?
I have.
Can you just run through the top 10 worst tax avoiders in Australia?
The top 10, well, Exxon I've got at the top. Now, bear in mind, I'm sticking very close to the ATO numbers here, doing a couple of metrics around them. These are effectively ATO figures that I'll be quoting you, just in case people think that they have an argument with any of them, because it's a fairly hot topic. And when we don't pay, we pay tax and these guys don't. So number one is Exxon. Number two is, just getting the list up. Energy Australia, $30 billion, zero tax. Number three is Virgin, the airline. Number four, Vodafone Hutchison, the phone provider. Optus and Telstra, by the way, do pay a lot of tax. Number five, Santos, the gas producer. Gas is big in this top 40 list. They're really big.
Okay, and just in case people have just turned on their radios, this is the top 10 list of tax avoiders, according to Michael West. Go on, Santos at number five. Who's at number six?
Santos, Pomi, which is a mysterious little financial services company. Peabody Australia, the Coal Group, Amcor, Fletcher Building and Ford. Now, There are good reasons why some of these companies have paid no tax. This is just looking at the biggest companies that have made the most in revenue or total income and managed to wipe out that income in costs and deductions and basically largest income, lowest tax. And then you've got Chevron and Hewlett-Packard and BG and other gas player, which is Shell and so on. The gas players feature very big. Now, some people will say that, oh, well, look, Santos, you know, made bona fide losses and Virgin bona fide losses because running an airline is a tough business. And that is correct because you can bank up your tax losses for as long as you want and you can use them for the years when you do make a profit. Because Qantas is, you know, $80 billion without paying any tax, but we didn't have them on the list because they don't fit into the metrics that we employed. But so, you know, you've got these patterns emerging. The banks, which are backed by us, the taxpayer, with a guarantee, they do pay a lot of tax. Financial services in Australia pay a lot of tax. And a lot of these ASX companies, BHP and Rio, they've been scolded for tax avoidance, but they do pay, you know, $5 billion a year between the two of them.
Michael West, fascinating to speak to you this morning. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, Rebecca. Cheers.
Michael West, if you want to know more, if you want a closer look at his calculator, michaelwest.com.au is his website.